General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
Who told the first story? The man who carved the first drawing on rock. The first hunter who hunted in the ancient world when the Americas were joined by a great shelf to New Zealand and the night stars were brighter than they are today. The father tells the tale to his son. The son hands down the legend to his son. And the words reach us in the 20th century. Different in form, perhaps, but in essence the same. I know a story that could have been told in the dawn of time. But the man who related it to me swore that the year of its happening was 1891. The place, Bechuanaland. The High Commissioner for South Africa had received authorization to exercise jurisdiction in Bechuanaland. 1891 was the year the tribes waited in vain for the rains. And this is the story of that year. The story of two Quaker families who had settled on the banks of the Nata River, 10 miles from the Makarikari salt pan. It's also the story of a man called Jake, the man who made the rains come. Bechuanaland is large. There was room there for the Gurneys and the Bennets, room to be alone, to farm, raise stock, live good Quaker lives. So they left southern Rhodesia and trekked to the west, and then south a bit. The Nata River had most things a group of people might need, providing the rains came on time and the crops were good and the cattle and sheep didn't die. The second year was no better than the first. Came February, the second month of the third year on the Nata River. One night, towards the end of the month, after a day of burning heat, George Fox Bennett called a council.
It's a misfortune that the rainy season comes at a bad time for the crops. The big rains come at the end of the summer, when the crops must be about half grown. Even if they haven't failed because of the early rains not being heavy enough, they could do with less rain than March brings. Yes, when April comes, we get the cold season, and by then, the crops must be complete. This year, like last year, we've little to show for our efforts. My friends, we've failed.
Father, we've got the stock. Can't we try again another year?
There's too much against us.
As Joseph says, we've got the stock, George. They'll see us through. I think we should wait another year. I think it's too soon to say we've failed.
Then we'll have to put it to the vote. Right, but I say we've failed. I think we should move on.
And leave all this, all we've built?
We've done it before. We can do it again, and again if necessary.
There'll come a time when we can't move, when we have to stop. The Feathersons stuck to their guns in Rhodesia. They're doing well.
Then perhaps it's time the families split up.
George, you promised that
I
you wouldn't...
I promised I wouldn't talk like that, I know. But Thomas will have to make up his own mind. Will and Matt, too. Joseph's got no choice. He's my son. If I say go, he'll go with me. I can't speak for the Gurneys.
Oh, two families are better than one. Let's stick together. It's just that it's a lot to leave, Uncle George. The land, the houses, the stock.
We wouldn't leave the stock, Matt. You know that.
Oh, we'd lose half of it on the way.
Oh, we'll put it to the vote, then.
The trouble is, there's four of you and three of us.
Oh, three to each family. Joel's too young to vote.
Why?
Because I say so.
I'm 17.
16.
And 9 months, and you mind your own business, Will Gurney.
Well, that'll do, that'll do. Right. In favor of staying?
Yeah.
One, two, three... Four. Well, there it is, then.
Why, Joseph, why did you vote for staying?
I want to stay, and I think it's the best plan. I'm your son, but I don't have to think like you and everything.
Seems to me Josephine didn't have to vote. My son spoken for her.
Oh, George, that's not fair.
I didn't
speak. The meeting's adjourned. We'll need a miracle now.
The next day was a bad one. A lion, one that had troubled the settlement just before Christmas, struck again, killing two cows just before dawn. George Bennett recognized this as a sign that the wrong decision had been made. The beast was hunted unsuccessfully, and the men returned towards the late afternoon, both of them in tempers that were rare amongst Quakers. This was the day the lion couldn't be found. It was also the day of the miracle. Or perhaps it might be truer to say the day the miracle began.
Down through the pan, through the south into South Africa. We can take nearly everything with us.
But we can't take the land we've plowed and the houses.
What happened, Uncle? Did you get him?
No, he disappeared. We lost him in the salt ponds.
Oh, he'll get a bit thirsty in there, won't he?
I dare say he will. He's waiting for the rains, like us.
Why were you angry with Joseph yesterday?
Because he's my son, and he should do what I want. He voted to stay because he wants to be with you.
We're going to be married one day.
He was disloyal.
He wasn't disloyal. It's just that you
now,
don't...
Now, don't argue with me, Joe. I say he was disloyal, and that's what he was. If I can't rely on my own
Why
son...
Why should he always think like you? Ask Aunt Margaret. What do you really think, Aunt Margaret?
What do I...
I'm in no mood for argument,
I'm
Joe.
I'm not arguing. I'm only asking
now,
you.
Now, that's
Look,
enough.
The girl's only...
You're afraid to ask her, because you know that she'll tell the truth and want to stay here and make a go of things. But she's tired of leaving places too, aren't you?
I...
Margaret, now, tell the child she's imagining things. Of course you want to go. You can see it's no good. And now, the lion... It will continue like this, too. Month after month. It's not a good place. Now tell her, Margaret.
George, you see...
Margaret?
I'm sorry. No, I don't want to leave. I want to stay. I love it here. I love the nights and the early mornings most of all. But I love it all the time. I'm happy here. I'd rather struggle here than be successful somewhere else and not be happy. I don't want to leave this river.
River? There's no water in it.
There's enough. We'll find water. And the rains will come, I know. I don't want to leave.
Then why did
why
you...
Why did I vote with you? Because I didn't want you to be alone.
Oh, I'm going over to our place now. Good night. Good night, Aunt Margaret.
Good night, Joe.
What have I done now? All so dry everywhere. What's that? Hello? Hello, who's that? He was riding a black horse. It was a big horse, with not even another mark upon it anywhere. Not even a blaze. He was tall and very brown. His clothes were black, and in the gathering dusk he seemed part of the horse. He sat and looked at me, and I felt frightened. I asked him who he was, but he didn't answer. He just smiled, and I didn't feel frightened anymore. It's a long time ago now, but I remember his smile as if it was yesterday. He spoke in a funny way.
I didn't know there was a town here.
Town? There isn't.
People living here?
Just us.
Who are you?
I'm Joe Gurney. Who are you?
Jake.
Jake? Well, where have you come from?
Over there.
Where?
There. You the people that were looking for the lion?
Yes, we lost some cows.
I saw the lion. You was a long way from that lion.
Where are you from?
Fort Worth.
Fort... Well, where's that?
Oh, that's near Dallas, Texas.
Texas?
Can I sleep here?
Well, I'll go and tell...
No, don't tell no one. I'll sleep in your barn if that's okay
oh,
with you.
No, but you can't.
Yes, I can. Tomorrow, I'll show you where that lion is.
And that's all he said, except he didn't want to see anybody. As we were talking, the moon came up and made his hair shine. I showed him where the big barn was, the one furthest from the houses and stables. I led him past the marola trees and showed him where he could put his horse. I don't know to this day why I never told anyone about him. The next morning, I slipped out early and went to see him. He'd gone. But I saw where he'd lain in the straw and the place where his black horse had eaten some of the maize. That's how I knew I hadn't imagined it all. That day was the most exciting day of my life. My first lion hunt.
We're 2 miles from the pan now, Thomas. Tell him to spread out.
Aye. Matt! Well, spread out now. Make a line.
We're doing that now, Father.
Some of the semi-swamp below the drift could be made to bear crops, George.
No. No, there's too much salt in the pan.
Well, it doesn't get too salty for 8 or 10 miles. We could irrigate. Joe.
Yes, Father?
Stay close.
Oh, yes, Father.
You're quiet today, Joe. You're still angry with me, hmm?
No, not anymore.
Good. We lost the tracks a little further to the west yesterday. We were moving towards the outcrop of rocks over there.
Uncle George!
You're keeping your line, Will.
We saw something over in the rocks.
All right. Now, keep out there.
Hey, Matt's watching. We should have brought some of the Bamangwata with us.
We'll do this ourselves. There's enough of us.
Now go back, Will. If it's there, it may break out the eastern side.
We reached the rocks, which were gray and white spotted with the droppings of a million birds. We were entering the salt pan, and after this, the land was flat for many miles. We stopped about 200 yards away, and then began to move in. Every time I strayed more than a few yards from the men, Father would haul me back. We were very close when we heard the line. Matt had crossed over and was between us and Will, who guarded the approach to the right, which was, I think, the east. I don't remember now.
He's in there. Still, Joe, keep still.
I'll cross right behind.
Careful.
I will be.
Two lions?
We'll be in trouble if they come out at once. Now do exactly as I tell you, Joe, understand?
Yes. What if they run to the trees over there?
Father never replied, because at that moment, one of the lions ran out.
Will!
The lion raced for the trees. Will was between him and the trees. He fired. The lion was still running. Will could never have reloaded in time. And then, from out of the shelter of the trees behind Will, stepped the man who had come to the farm the night before. At first, he seemed to have no gun, and then he skipped to one side and raised his right arm, holding the wrist with the left hand. The bright sun glinted for a moment on the revolver barrel, and then he fired. The lion didn't move anymore. But the second lion, for there were two, moved faster than I've seen anything, in the same path as the first one. But the cowboy, he fell onto one knee, waited until the beast was almost upon him, and hit the lion with his second shot straight between the eyes.
I don't know who you are, but thank you for what you've done.
I've never seen anyone who could...
Well, where did you come from, young man?
No one knew what to say. The men looked at the lions and looked at Jake, and then looked back at the lions and walked in circles, saying things that were out of place, saying inadequate things that meant nothing. Finally, they trekked back to the farm, and here there was much talking and laughing, and the Quakers became more unorthodox than ever, and much Marula Bear was drunk. And all that time, the young stranger said nothing. Until...
So there you are, Jake. Things are bad. Very bad. The rivers should be full by March. Almost the middle of February now, and there hasn't been a drop.
I can make it rain for you.
What do you mean you can make it rain?
What I say. I can make it rain for you.
Now, look here, young man. No one can make
it rain for you.
But how, Jake?
Quiet, Matt.
But how?
Guess I'll just look up at the sun and say, Go away, son. And I'll say, come on, little cloud. Little cloud, he'll come over from where he'd been sleeping, and then another little old black cloud will come over, and they have sort of argument, and then they'll get to making up, and shed a few tears, and it'll rain.
He's mad.
Let's see you do it. Make us some rain for the millet and the maize and the watermelons, and come on, Jake.
He picked up a bucket that was lying by the stoop. He placed the bucket in the dry dust, and he threw back his head, pushed back his stained old hat, and shouted,
where are you hiding, you old cloud? I want some water down here in this bucket.
Thomas, look!
Cloud!
The sky was as clear as a piece of paper just now.
Father, you must stop him.
Jake, that's enough now. Now stop it. Now you must.
And the sky began to cloud right over.
I want you to thunder and lightning and rain.
And the sky became full of clouds like a sea full of fish. The two families watched, excited and yet horrified. And then the thunder came.
It's raining. Uncle George, the rains have come.
It's gonna pour!
I remember the days that followed so well. They were terrible days, and yet wonderful days. The miracle had happened. All the time, Jake lived in the barn. He wouldn't come into the house at all. Father was worried about my speaking to him, but I did. I had to talk to him.
Who's that?
Me, Joe. Can I see you? Hello.
Hello. You're all wet.
Oh, not very. You made it very cozy in here. Why don't you come into the house? You haven't once been in to either our house or Uncle George's.
Oh, they don't want me in there.
But they do. My father does anyway. Uncle George is just a bit afraid, that's all. He'll be all right soon. We're Quakers.
I know.
How do you know?
Oh, I heard tell the day I came back after the lion.
Oh, you shoot wonderfully. Father says he's never known anyone fill a line with a revolver. I was so frightened of you when you first came that night.
Why?
You wouldn't say anything. Wouldn't come and meet them.
Oh, I never have liked a lot of people.
Jake, how did you come to Africa?
Boat.
Must have taken you forever.
Weeks and weeks and weeks. I was sick and sick. I don't like water.
You don't like water, and yet you make it? Can't you swim or anything?
Oh, I can't swim or nothing, no.
You have the saddest face I've ever seen.
None of you people sound like Quaker people.
It looks so young sometimes, yet it's old.
Quaker people I knew were different.
Oh, we're not very conventional Quakers. We don't say thee and thou or anything. Father says Quakerism is a way of life. It's a sort of atmosphere, not a religion. Uncle George is descended from the founder. That's why he's called George Fox Bennett. Why are you looking at me like that, Jake? Why did you do that?
Because I wanted to do that. Was it a bad thing to do?
No. Please.
What?
Kiss me again. Please.
Get up, you. Get up.
Joseph!
You have to leave today.
What are you talking
about?
The
rain. This is too much rain. The crops are being ruined.
Oh,
Mr.
No.
Jake, you have to go now. Get your horse. We'll give you supplies for a week. You have to go now.
No, he doesn't.
He has to.
He can't go like this. Not in this
He has to go now.
Oh,
come on.
I'll go.
You mustn't.
I'll go.
Joseph, what's the matter with you? I've never seen you like this before.
The horses have gone into the river below the car.
Now see what you've done, well done.
Joseph,
Don't let me ever hear you talk like that again.
But what has happened?
The dam we built has burst. The causeway has broken and the water came through. Will had the horses there for grazing. He nearly went into the water himself. Joseph, settle up. We're going across now.
They rode the 2 miles to the river. The man Jake went with them. Matt and Thomas and Joe, against her father's wishes, rode as well. 3 of the animals had already been drowned. Will Gurney was desperately trying to pull another out. The others were struggling in the heavy water below the sluices.
He can't hold on to it! She's going!
Joseph, help Will! George, we'll have to get across the top of the dam. The others are too far down, too far across to the side. Joe, stay here.
The 2 men negotiated the dam safely, and then the structure collapsed. It had been built when heavy rains were only to be dreamed of, when the crops were dying and the cattle rooting miserably in the dust.
The wall's gone!
Joe and the cowboy moved further down the riverbank, where Matt was battling with a horse that was crazy with fear, its eyes wild, the foam of the river mixing with the blood from the animal's body.
She's done for!
At that moment, the horse was swept away, and Matt released the halter only just in time to prevent himself being dragged into the spate.
We've lost George! There's nothing we can do!
The others will have been carried a mile down the river by now. We've lost them.
Joe! Joe, you can't! Joe! Oh, she's fallen in! Matt! Joseph!
Get down to your side, Father. Uncle George, Will, come with me!
On one side of the bank, the 2 elders ran down below the causeway, below the sluices and the broken dam. The boys raced down the other side. Joe's head was seen briefly and then lost, was seen again and then lost. Jake had been with her when she went into the water. Now he stood helplessly on the bank, near a horse with 2 broken front legs that they dragged in vain from the torment of the river. The sky darkened, and all the rain that had ever rained fell that day. The clouds massed for war like men-at-arms by the drum-beating wind. And then Joseph was in the river after the girl.
Joseph!
He can't!
He's reached her!
Joseph! Rope!
No, don't miss! If you miss, they'll never get it again!
He can't hear me!
He knows what you're doing! Now? Wait! Now!
Joseph! Joseph! The rope!
He's got her!
He can't see the rope! Joseph!
Yes! He's got it! Quick! Watch them pull it away! Now!
I don't know.
Come on, let's get them back.
He didn't move. He didn't move. He just stood there staring.
She could have drowned.
How is she, Father?
Oh, she's well. Too tough for an old river.
She comes from tough stock.
No one.
The American man? No. Nope. He just seemed to disappear. Never saw him after he left.
Well, Joseph's been sick a few times, but he's all right now. Must have swallowed half the river.
That'll keep the river down.
Not a cloud in the sky.
That's how it happened. When I woke up, I thought I died. Everything was soft and warm, and I could hear voices, but I didn't know who they belonged to. I could feel the sun, but my eyes wouldn't open. The voices went away again, and when I could see properly, it was dark. It was a huge moon. The clouds were gliding past the moon, and she looked like a great galleon in stormy seas.
Where are you hiding, you old cloud? I want some water down here in this bucket.
We never saw the cowboy again. I remember seeing him standing beside me on the bank before I fell into the water. But that's the last any of us saw of him, except in the mud a week later. When the river had receded and the rains had gone away, I found an old torn hat, a black hat, like the one he wore. For months afterwards, I listened for his horse because I wanted to tell him that I didn't think about him as the boys did. I wanted to tell him I didn't mind about his being unheroic when the river rose up. But all that was a long time ago. I married Joseph, and we made a fine ranch, and the rains never let us down again. But I never hear thunder without thinking of the man who made the rains come that February in our third year.
I want rain to make the sorghum grow, and rain to make the millet grow, and rain to make the watermelon get big and ripe. 'Cause I sure got a whole heap of pleasure on a nice big watermelon.
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.